was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. He's Ski at TSB Ski. He's King at Joe Romney. Movie podcast this Sunday is going to be Wrath of Man. Guy Ritchie, Jason Statham, Amazon Prime. Watch it. And then we'll talk about it. I actually saw it.
I guess I got a couple of days to still watch it, am I right?
You got a couple of you got a couple of days. So get on it, listener. All right. Where should we start this week? So King, you just before we started recording this, got home from a wedding, right?
Correct. Yes.
And I went to our boy Rick Nodger's wedding last week. Nice little radio family reunion for me, where it was so Nick Rogers from 95.3 The Score, Steve Tannen currently on 95.3 The Score, and then me from 95.3 The Score. We all hadn't really seen each other in a really long time, and so
how was Dennis Nakata?
That was fun. Dennis Nakata not invited apparently.
Oh,
I would assume. Kennedy? I would assume if Dennis Nakata is invited to a wedding, that Dennis Nakata shows up at that wedding.
Dennis Nakata definitely shows up. So and he finds the microphone.
My assumption is that he was not invited. I did not ask.
Sounds like there was some friction. You know,
should
the
I
old
have asked
this building? Yeah.
You know the station he's on.
Infighting.
I'm just saying.
Infighting.
By the way, Eugene listener, because only Eugene listener will know who the hell we're talking about. Dennis Nakata is the nicest human being on earth. genuinely the absolute sweetest old man you'll ever meet in your whole damn life. Didn't even seem old, by the way. He's like a golf teacher now.
And perfect.
He's a golf coach and part-time radio host. It's fantastic. That's a life, by the way.
That seems so on brand.
If you can do it, do it. Highly recommend. But yeah, that was fun. Like, you know, congratulations to my boy Nick. It's fun. I got my kiddo out there, did a little white man's overbite, got to eat some cake. It's good times. Whose wedding did you go to? Can you say?
I don't know if I'm not going
to
say it.
It's okay to not
I don't
say
know.
It's okay
but
to
if,
not say
if,
it. If how was it though?
It's great. And some people that are listening to this will know who I'm talking about, you know. Yeah, it was great. It's beautiful, you know. Love is love. It's always nice to see people start on their journey to togetherness.
On a Thursday night.
There were some tears. There was, you know, some good jokes. Yeah, it was a good time.
I mean, anything
beautiful
to
venue.
Not, anything to not watch this Thursday night football game, I think.
Yeah, you know what? That's
great.
Fair.
Great time to have a great time to have a Thursday night wedding. That's
fair. Is during the 2022 NFL season where you're seeing on Thursday nights the worst football you've ever seen in your whole life. It's atrocious.
Is it 7-3 still?
It is a 12-7. Yeah.
Oh God.
You know why? You want to know why?
I don't. Why?
Okay. Well, it's the Bears muffed a punt at the like 5-yard line.
Of course.
Washington yes. was it? Yeah. It's a terrible football game. But yeah, wedding season or something.
Justin Fields.
It's a
he's a bust.
Like the least hot take you've ever,
no, I'm just saying,
you've
like,
ever heard.
He's just a bust.
He's not good. And you know what? Like they've won a couple games this year. And you know, one of them was against my team. And it was a monsoon, I get it. Still doesn't feel good to have that on the schedule. A loss to the Bears. It's not good. Not a good look.
I mean, is it because this was
lost to the Bears and the Broncos? Fuck me. Come on.
That Bronco game. Woof. Yeah. That was poison.
Yeah.
No, but Fields right now reminds me of Tua from last year in his rookie year.
You got to be more specific, by the way. That Broncos game was poison.
Yeah, all of the Broncos games are poison. But 49ers at Broncos was especially a bleach cocktail.
Yeah, Colts Broncos also wasn't super great.
No.
You know what's amazing that the Broncos are able to do? I almost give them credit for it. Like, are successful at bringing every team they play down to their level. Like it's I don't think it's the other team playing down to their level because they've done it to everybody. So it must be something with the Broncos where it's like, nah, you know what? We're slogging our way through this. This is going to be horrible football. Nobody's going to enjoy watching it. We're still going to lose, but it's like, this is, we're going to make everybody terrible today.
That's very similar to this Bears team too.
That's true. That's true.
Their wins were all, you know,
Lukey.
Muddy games that, yeah, like 20-13 final kind of games.
The Broncos so far this year, remember that? I mean, maybe it's still running. Who the hell reads a comic section these days? Remember Kathy? The Broncos are Kathy. They just bring everyone down. Mondays, am I right?
Or Debbie Downer from Debbie the Downer, SNL skit.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson is your starting quarterback. Melvin Gordon is your starting running back.
The Kathy of the NFL.
They are. Broncos.
My team still gets to play them twice this year. Can't wait.
Oh my god! Got a Broncos buddy. I'm like, I want to just stop the podcast and text him that right now. Oh man, Ski. The Colts aren't good, man.
2-2-1, baby. Yeah. Super Bowl bound.
Yeah.
Lock it in.
Yeah. Man, I
lock it up.
Ooh.
That they was in rough. First place in the division?
Yes, because of the tie.
Yeah. What are the Titans?
They have two wins as well. Jeez. I think they're 2-3. I think the Jags are 2-3 as well.
The Jags.
Nope. Tennessee's 3-2. Scratch okay. that.
All right.
And Houston's 1-3-1. Love my division.
You know the funny thing?
Love the South.
Funny thing about the NFL is that your team could still win the division by 4 games. So it's, yeah, still very early for horrible teams to not be horrible anymore. I mean, my team did it within the span of like a week. They went from that Broncos game to just like wrecking people like 2 weeks in a row, like back to back dominating wins over the Rams. And then obviously the Panthers are terrible, but forcing the Panthers to fire their coach with how badly they beat them. The Niners ran up the score on Carolina. Like that Jimmy G ran up a score on a team. So
Carolina is, I wouldn't even say they're in a rebuild. I don't know what this is. Well, it's not a rebuild.
They fired their coach, so they're going to have to start over with somebody.
But it was almost like they were in a rebuild, and then the rebuild didn't take.
Yeah,
so I don't know
exactly
what they're in. Because they're not rebuilding.
It's Christian McCaffrey cannot not be injured. And so, like, Carolina would be fine if they had their best offensive player actually playing football. That would be nice.
It's,
right?
It's the NFL now. You need a quarterback.
And also Baker Mayfield's their quarterback. Yeah.
Yes.
I do love it's
PJ Walker.
Yeah. And PJ Walker Darnold when they got hurt.
PJ Walker is still a Panther.
He is so bad.
He is awful.
He is so bad.
There's your bet this week.
Bet against PJ Walker.
Matt Rhule tried to save his job with PJ Walker, Cam Newton, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield. He might be a very good rebuilder of college programs, but
he's about to do that, right? He's going to go to Arizona State, right?
I wouldn't. He has $40 million guaranteed coming.
No, that's
sit
true.
Out a year or two.
That's true. That's true.
Like fair enough. He'll work again for sure, but why would you take a job right now?
That's fair. Well, I mean, people are addicted to coaching. So
oh, I know. Yeah. No, there's no way he's sitting out 2 years. But sit out a year, man.
Is the NFL going to back off hiring these college coaches?
Well, reading.
There's been a big run of busts right now.
Well, think of one. Can you think of the last one to work?
Chip Kelly.
Did Chip
the playoffs?
Yeah.
Chip Kelly? So Okay, yeah.
I mean, I don't count the 49er Eagles, right? Year, but yeah.
No.
But he did make the playoffs once, and I'm kind of joking about that.
Chip Kelly, Michael Vick.
And his bad years weren't, you know, like what some of these current college coaches are, too. Not 2-3 wins. They were 6-7 wins. He just missed the playoffs, and, you know, he wasn't that bad.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't Urban Meyer.
He wasn't being drunk on the job and having pictures taken of you with co-eds.
What I love about, I was listening to someone yesterday, I was talking about how Matt Rhule, well, he got the job because, you know, he wasn't a recruiter at all in college. Like, he hated recruiting and he didn't recruit. He was just a talent evaluator. Like, he could get those, he could develop talent. And I'm like, well, if he doesn't like recruiting, why would a big school hire him?
Yeah, exactly. Why would you? That's the game right now is recruiting.
Yeah, like Baylor and Temple are a little bit different. You know, I don't know. I just found it weird. They're like, oh yeah, he doesn't even care about recruiting. But give him the Wisconsin job.
And then the weird thing that he, you know, nurtures talent like that. These are NFL guys. You're not really, bringing up their talent level much.
No,
you're trying to you're game managing these guys, not elevating their talent. So that was a weird hire for the NFL.
Yeah, the average career of a player on an NFL roster is way less than the average career of a college player on a roster. Like, yeah, you don't draft guys to stash them for 2+ years. It's not really how it works.
Yeah, you're my project. We're going to sit you here for 2.5 years behind these guys and then we'll work you in.
You're 40 pounds too light, but we're gonna draft you and just develop you, get you in the weight room. And by the time you're a redshirt junior, you'll be ready to go.
Does that work for any sport anymore?
Trey Lance.
I mean, the NBA, there aren't that many projects getting drafted now.
Well, they can't draft them out of high school anymore, so that changed.
I guess that is. But I mean, it's 1 year, but I guess maybe kind of weed out some of those projects with the 1 year.
I don't know that you consider them projects in the NBA anymore, because they're players who are, if they're just drafted, their rookie year, they're getting like 14 a game. And if they do what you want them to do, project, quote unquote, they turn that into 22 a game the next season.
I guess the project was like Giannis. I mean, he was a little raw. He was a freak athlete. But like you said, he's still averaged pretty well as a rookie. He just eventually, like year 4 or something like that, turned it up to, you know, superstar level.
And Jokic, Jokic is that as well. Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
they got to be from another country. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, there's no, we're taking Michael Olowokandi at number 1 here because he's a project. He's only going to play 5 minutes a game for his first year.
He's
raw, but we'll work him in. And then I guess baseball doesn't count because of the minor leagues, but.
Baseball doesn't count.
No.
I don't think I can name 5 number 1 baseball picks of all time.
Ooh,
I could guess and go Ken Griffey Jr., Frank Thomas, you know, Barry Bonds, Bryce Harper, and Natalie Rutschman. I'm sure those are 5, but do I really know?
Mark Appel, I think, was one.
Mark Appel. There you go. Yeah. There you go. Todd Van Poppel.
TVP, definitely.
Absolutely number 1 pick. Yes. All right, we should probably mention the Chiefs-Raiders game. More like a couple of things from the game. So, you know, the big talk this week was obviously the roughing the passer penalty that was called. Going for 2 when you can tie the game as well is...
I didn't get that one because a field goal still beats you.
Yeah, that's why it made no sense.
It made no sense.
And there was way too much time on the clock for it to matter.
4.5 minutes left. It was very. I didn't get it. Like, I guess counting on Mahomes to throw a pick on like 3rd down and you just lead it. I don't know. It was very bizarre.
I guess you don't trust the Chiefs kicker. Maybe.
Well, I mean, which is beyond fair. That guy, you know, he's technically their 4th kicker of the year. Like. Yeah. Yes. I don't trust him either.
Good news. I think Butker is coming back this Sunday for you.
I think so, yeah.
But I also didn't fully get the Chiefs going for 2. I mean, I guess you kind of put the game away, but
I mean, that one, I was
Chucky,
like,
okay. Trust your defense enough to go up eight?
You go up nine. The Raiders got to score 2 points and stop you and get the ball back and score. I was like, okay, that one I can live with. But the Raiders one, I didn't understand. I didn't understand it at all. And what I love about the Chiefs going for two is, like, PFF hates Andy Reid. It's like, he never goes for two. He never goes for fourth. And then he goes for two, like, wrong decision, Andy Reid. Trust your defense. Make up your mind, PFF. Like, what the hell? If you want to make him a bumbling idiot, just...
All, PFF, for all the bullshit they say, all you have to do is look at the end of that Chargers game. The Chargers-Browns, when both teams just try to fuck away the game the best they can.
Incredible how much neither team wanted to win that game. The Staley going for it is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Like, legitimately. That's the worst decision I've ever seen. You're in your own territory with a lead, and you punt the ball. Even if it goes in the end zone.
Make them go 80.
They're on the other side of the fucking field. They have to go a long ways to beat you. Instead, you're giving them the ball on your side.
I think at this point, Staley's doubled down after that season finale against the Raiders where, you know, he went for it on like 3rd and 3 from his 20 in the third quarter. Didn't get it. Raiders score. I think he's just doubling down on it. Like, oh, I will show you how right I am. I will outsmart everyone.
He actually, the first two games of the season for him, he was playing conservative, punting and Kansas playing City. Field position. Yeah,
fourth
and now
one
he's like,
at the 50. Yeah, punt. Yeah.
Punt. And now he's like, fuck it.
Yeah, he's
my whole team's hurt. Fuck it.
And I know this is, I am going into dangerous territory because, man, Duck fans, big Charger fans all of a sudden. Duck Charger fans defending Staley still. I'm like,
wow.
Why?
Like, no football. Like, shut up.
Why are you doing this? I know you love Herbert, but you can call the coach an idiot. Like, he's been there for 18 months. Why are we doing this?
It's the NFL. You don't do the blind support thing in the NFL. You just don't. Stop it. You have bums. You have losers. You have terrible coaches. All over your team. Like, you're allowed to say it. It's okay. I mean, I don't. My team's great, but, you know, everybody else, they all have trash everywhere.
Your team's trying to compete with the Chargers for injuries.
Fucking
now.
A, right? I know. Yeah. I know.
When it was 17-0 Raiders, how certain were you that Kansas City was going to come back and win?
I live bet the Chiefs to win.
Did you?
Yes.
Good call.
Because I saw no way they were going to lose that game.
And it's just funny because they're not even explosive this year, like, consistently. They're just
Kelsey wasn't a factor until they got into about the 3 yard line.
Yeah. Yo,
he had no catches in the field.
Did you see his stat line?
Like seven catches, 25 yards, four touchdowns.
Four touchdowns on 25 yards. That is
fantastic.
Woo! So his fantasy points were all touchdowns.
Yeah. Not a bad problem.
So no, that'll work. Oh, man. So, and of course, the big thing from that game was the roughing the passer. I don't know that there's much we can say that, it, you know, everybody else hasn't already said, but it was a bad call. Like, you know, it's not even within the scope. It's a bad call even within the scope of how they're trying to referee it this year, because they tell them to sort of like brace yourself so you don't land with your full weight on the person. And he like it was a athletic feat for him to actually do that, which he did. Like he grabbed the ball from him in one hand and then braced himself with the other hand while he's on top of him. He literally did everything you could possibly do to not land on him with all of his weight. And he didn't.
I still don't get that. I don't get that. How can it can't be a roughing the passer when the guy doesn't have the ball? He's not a passer.
That's just a guy on the ground.
Though I love how the NFL
that is a defender at that point, is it not?
Exactly.
But the NFL said he's not because he's still in a passing posture.
He's on his ass.
Okay.
And, you can't and pass again, from your ass, dude.
We're just making up. Nope. Even though he was stripped, he was in a passing posture.
And again, like I said, he has the ball in one of his arms. How is he supposed to brace with that arm to not
and he
fall
did,
his
and
full
he
weight
did
on?
With the
and
other
he still
one.
Threw an arm.
It's amazing. Wow. You know, the NFL has come out and said they've made bad calls before. You don't have to, like, go out of your way to support this ref and his bad call. You don't have to. You're allowed to say it was a bad call. You know, we reviewed the rule. It's not within the scope of, you know, the rule as it stands today. That's fine. You know, like, the Chiefs won anyways. So, you know, it doesn't really matter in the end. You're allowed to say it was a bad call.
Well, the Falcons weren't so lucky with the call on Brady. I mean, still would have had to go and score, but...
In fairness, do we really expect Mario to march them down?
No, but the fact that it
Mari
was...
Gota? Tom, come on.
But the fact that it was Tom Brady getting another one of these calls, I mean...
I did see a stat that, like,
shocking.
The Falcons offense through week five or whatever we're in is like number three in 20 plus yard plays. I'm like, how? All their games are 21-19.
I think they are like the Ducks against Washington State. They march the ball downfield. Mariota's like red zone numbers have to be the worst in the
they
NFL.
They have to be. Yeah.
Because they got playmakers.
They're not a physical team at all either. So they're fifth
in rushing.
But that's Patterson, you know, running on the outside. You know, it's not Mariota running the ball too, by the way. By the way, the Niners play the Falcons this week. So with nobody healthy.
No Patterson.
Nobody healthy on either team.
I think no Pitts, even though he's a non-factor, no Patterson.
No Pitts, no Patterson. Yep. The Niners, by the way, Jimmy Ward came off of the injured list and played on the opening kickoff, broke his hand, and then played like part of the first defensive series because he didn't want to believe that he broke his hand, and then they pulled him for the rest of the game.
Why is Jimmy Ward on kick coverage?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Coming off an injury, too.
I don't have an answer for that. I do know that he broke his hand and is going to miss a few weeks. He can apparently play with a club, so that'll be fun. Yeah. And then Bosa hurt his groin.
Yeah, the Bosas are always hurt.
They're so soft.
I think
they're so fragile.
I think he's going to be able to play this week, though. But, you know, like the Niners had to sign a bunch of scrubs off free agency to play defensive tackle because they don't have any defensive tackles. So we'll see how that works against a team that's good at running the ball, you know? Injuries are fun, guys. Chiefs ever get injured? Like, anybody?
Offensive line likes to get hurt.
It's been so long since he's played. I forgot his name. The guy from Washington they drafted, the cornerback. He's played like four plays this year. First round guy. Byron Murphy, even though it's not his name.
Sounds like a person.
He plays for the Cardinals.
Definitely sounds like a person.
Yeah, it was their first round pick. I don't know, but yeah, he's injured.
Shaq Thompson.
So I do love how the
Kelsey Plum.
No one cares, but I'm like
Brandon Roy.
There was a play in the Raiders
Brandon Roy, where
it was the cornerback who's a situational guy got beat. Rookie.
Cody Pickett,
and then the two safeties who broke up the play. One's from Cincinnati, and one's from Wazoo. Fresh rookies. I'm like, the other rookies, they don't have four rookies in the defensive backfield. Like, I feel like that's a little overkill. Like, granted, I never wanted to see Daniel Sorensen again, but damn.
Is he on the
four rookies was your best?
Is Sorensen still on the team?
No, I think he's out of the league.
Out of football, maybe? Yeah.
I think so.
Was he an all pro 2 years ago?
He was not brought back to the team after being a starter, and now is out of the league. So he went from starter to not in the league.
But
I thought
you
he was
know,
thought he went from all pro to last year's starter and just getting torched.
Like
to
the Super Bowl, the Super Bowl win year. Wasn't he an all pro or something?
Probably.
That's what I think, yeah.
But all pro is so weird because I never really paid attention to it. But last year when like Matthew was first team all pro, I was like, most of those were Sorensen's problems. But everyone saw the 19 stills of an 80-yard pass going against the Chiefs. Like, I don't think he was necessarily first-team All-Pro. Like, we need to improve the position if he got it last year. Like, what's going on here?
Well, you draft the Washington guy.
Yeah, I wish I could remember his name.
And Byron Murphy.
Yeah, Elijah Molden.
Wow, we're really good at naming Washington corners, but not the one we actually want.
Except for the one.
Yeah.
So, big story from the NFL today comes from ESPN. Reported some very big things about Daniel Snyder. And so Snyder, essentially, he's going to be that guy. There's always that guy. In every big scandal, there's always the guy who they get, who like the feds bring him in. They, you know, they cut a deal and he gives up everybody. Like there's always that guy. I don't think this does not match that scenario in that it is Daniel Snyder flipping the bird to everybody. And he's, you know, him getting in trouble is him still being a billionaire and possibly not owning an NFL team anymore. But so the story is that he hired a private investigator. So while Washington was under investigation for the things that they eventually got in trouble for, which includes like him being suspended for a year, like not being able to run the team, a huge fine, but it was all, you know, involving an inappropriate workplace environment, that kind of stuff.
Style work environment. Yeah.
While that was under investigation, he investigated the people who were investigating him. So he hired private investigators to harass witnesses, to investigate Roger Goodell, investigate all the other NFL owners to try to find dirt on them. And he apparently, according to the source, claims that he has enough dirt on the other owners and Goodell that they can't fuck with him. Quote unquote, they can't fuck with me.
I think he needs, I forget the exactly how many, but I think you need 7 other owners on your side to block. Yeah,
20. It takes like 24. It takes 24 to kick
24.
You out. Yeah.
Yeah. So he better have dirt on that many at least.
He's
but
smart.
They're all billionaires. Of course, they all have dirt on them. It's probably not even too hard to find if you're looking.
I think that's why they're not really fighting to kick him out.
Yes.
Yeah.
They don't exactly want to be. It's like what Mark Cuban said when Donald Sterling got kicked out. He was like, "You're starting a precedent that looks great on paper, but none of the other owners want you digging around their shit,
I think,
including me."
I think it has to be for the Commanders fans to essentially stop going to the games to force him out.
They,
but he would, out of spite,
of
keep out of spite, I think he would keep the team. And oh, millions of loss.
We talked about that last week. NFL fans don't give a shit.
Yeah,
like, he's King. No. You, King, you talked about that. Like, yeah. NFL fans don't care. They act like they care on Facebook, but they don't actually care.
You get 8 home games a year. They don't care. It is what it is.
So adding on to that and his attitude that he feels the NFL, he's untouchable, which he kind of is based on his actions, is that he was supposed to not act as a decision maker with the team and that he actively pushed for the Carson Wentz trade, which, you know, is a, you know, if he's not in charge, that's a very Daniel Snyder trade. You know, I think anybody can look at that trade and say, I think we know who was calling the shots on that one, because it's a terrible trade. And that's what Daniel Snyder does. Like that's his MO. So this is a huge violation, like in terms of his punishment and in terms of, you know, saying like essentially like kicking dirt on Roger Goodell. It's like, yeah, fucking punish me. I dare you. Like, what are you going to do?
Can,
What are you?
What level
do?
Can you go to? Yeah, that's.
What are you gonna do? I already agreed to like quote unquote step away to save face for you. What are you gonna do?
The motherfucker Nothing. Was hiding out on a boat to Nothing. Like hide from subpoenas. You no, think he's afraid that. Of some like fines and shit?
Nothing.
He's a what's the McAfee guy? The McAfee virus guy that was.
Oh, from, John like, is it John McAfee?
John McAfee. He's borderline on John McAfee right now. He was hiding on a yacht, like, away from yes. people. And
I love that people think that CSN Baltimore is going to get Daniel Snyder when this man for 6 weeks was on a mega yacht in the Maldives
International
avoiding
waters.
Subpoenas. Like, yeah. Sorry. I mean, whatever. Say any NFL reporter, like, you ain't taking him down. You just
– like.
Waving at Michael Smith from his yacht.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Tim
Michael.
Pelissero. I'm sorry. Yeah, you ain't bringing him down. You ain't touching this man.
He Edward 40 hands his hands and sewed his pockets so they couldn't slip a subpoena to him. So he couldn't actually physically have it on his person.
Like, what a baller move. You know, I mean, if there's anything that shows the difference between the strata between the ultra rich and the norms, just hanging out in international waters for an entire summer on a mega yacht to avoid subpoenas. Just so good.
Like what an absolute scumbag.
Oh, he's a terrible person.
But I envy the hell out of it. Like, I'm like, man, I respect that so much. Like you're a piece of trash, whatever, but man, that's such a fucking power move with arguably one of the most powerful people in sports. So we joke about Goodell, but he's the commissioner of the most popular league in the country, like the most popular thing in the country. I think we can probably say the NFL, right? And he's the leader, quote unquote, of that. And you're like, man, you ain't shit. You can't touch me. Like, kick rocks. Like, whatever.
Think about being that rich is if I'm trying to avoid a subpoena to hang out in international waters, I got to go through like TSA, the Delta Skype. This man just hops on a private tarmac on a whim and is gone. Just
gone. He hops in a private jet, lands on his own aircraft carrier in international waters. And just like, I'm good.
FedEx money. Good on him. Asshole.
He did it. You did miss the game tonight. Snyder at the Commanders game tonight.
He was there.
Al Michaels taking some digs at him.
What'd he say?
Pretty much saying he should sell the team because he's a piece of shit.
He's right. He's not wrong, but it's not going to happen because it doesn't. Who's going to make it happen?
Look at the pictures.
Congress was part of the investigation into him and his team. Congress found that he had like a shadow investigation into people and was violating all of these rules. The United States government is involved in Daniel Snyder and no one can fuck with him. It's unbelievable.
Look at the pictures from him though, for the game tonight. He looks like a guy that's been on the run for like 8 months on his yacht. He looked a little beat up, the worse for wear, I'll say.
I did see him. He was wearing like the white suit that looked like a little dirty around the fringes. Like he hadn't changed it in a few days.
It kind of looked like he was rocking like some dirty old like beat up Carhartt shit to me.
Speaking of Al Michaels, I do love that this game is so bad tonight when last week at the end of Colts and Broncos, he was like, well, if you thought this one was rough, take a look at next Thursday.
Wait,
boy, has it delivered.
Check out our schedule.
Like, there's only really like one more watchable game on Amazon this year. It's some like random
next
game.
Week,
and like, is what's next week?
Next week, Saints and Cardinals.
Carpets.
Might be entertaining. It maybe might actually score some points, but
yeah, if you're a big fan of white Mormon guys who play all of the positions, then watch the Saints.
Speaking of billionaires, Jeff Bezos just paid hundreds of billions of dollars for this just so people can order aux cords on Prime. Shout out to Fat Kid
so,
Deals.
So they'll
by the
watch
way.
The two TV shows that are coming out during the season. That's pretty
sure.
Much it.
Yeah,
that's,
sure.
This Thursday Night Football is an advertisement for the Prime TV shows. That's it.
So like another Jack Reacher coming out or something?
No, the Lord of the Rings TV show. That's it.
Power of the Towers or something.
I think they spent more money making that show than they did for the Thursday Night Football rights.
Well, and it shows. It shows with these games.
We got to get our investment on the Lord of the Rings TV show back.
Do you guys watch that show?
Yeah.
Is it good? I'm not a wizard guy.
I'm like five episodes in. I like it. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Yep.
I just feel like they're... I don't have the bandwidth for the story development. It just,
I hear you. Yeah. No, I hear you.
I'm not trying to like bag on it. Just my brain doesn't last that long.
Is each episode not like 2 hours long?
They're very long. Yes. It's like an hour 15 each episode.
That's what I said about the season of Stranger Things. I was like, God, 2 hours and 10 minutes. Like you're really losing me here.
It's too much.
It's too much.
There's no way
we need to revolt. We need to revolt on that.
But the product's good, so whatever. Just, you know, you're sitting down to watch a movie. Just expect that every single episode.
Yeah. I mean, in theory, it sounds great. Like, you're for $9 a month, you can get a free, you know, brick delivered to you the next day, and you get to watch a movie, you know, five times a week. Or
and I imagine people who are super into Lord of the Rings are like, holy shit, I get a movie every week? Yeah. Yes, give me all of it. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. And it's good. Again, it's a good show. It's just... it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Okay, let's talk about the Ducks. So they listened to the podcast last week. I'm convinced of this. They listened to the podcast last week. They heard King say, no, they need to run the ball up the middle. And they did. And they just did it all game long.
Play action pass.
Yeah. Play action pass. Yeah, you just run the ball. It'll be fine. And they did.
Of course.
It was a really, 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 really easy win.
I think it was on the second drive. I can't remember how many drives it took for Oregon to score. I can't remember if it was the third or the second one. But it was the second drive. It was first down, and the defensive end on the close side from the TV angle. I was like, that guy looks like a backup at San Jose State.
He's going to
that
be
guy
a,
is
he's going
really
to be exploited
small.
At some point in this game.
Yes. And then I just looked at him. I was like, I got on my phone. I'm like, rush yards, because I knew they were bad. And I was like, oh, North Dakota State ran for 290 on him. Okay, yep, all right, yeah, I'm zero concern from here on out.
And then Whittington went for 60, and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Whittington just outran their whole defense.
Yeah.
All right. And then later on, Bo Nix outran their whole defense. All right.
Yeah.
They're not very good at defense.
No. Okay. They're just their offense is interesting.
I still thought they would be able to throw the ball easier against Oregon because, as we know, Oregon was worst in the Pac-12 against the pass.
Yes.
The game.
Yeah. Their pass defense isn't good. It got out of hand, you know, two or three possessions earlier than I thought it would. And then it was just kind of
Oregon could play the pass. Exactly.
Play the pass. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they were exploiting Mikal Bridges in the first couple drives and, you know, get a couple penalties and catches. And then it kind of stopped like trying to attack him.
And it was weird too. Because they tried going after Manning, and then Manning was playing well, but like by all accounts, and then he got ejected.
You could say he manned up.
Yeah, but then he got ejected, and so it's like, okay, well, now
man
you're
down.
Now you have true freshman Jahlil Florence coming in and covering guys one-on-one. Like, elite wide receivers. Like, Arizona has elite wide receivers. They do. Like, three of
them.
They
do. They really do.
Like, three of them. And so now you're like, oh, shit, true freshman against them. I think I texted you guys, but why aren't they just throwing jump balls to anyone who is not being guarded by Gonzalez? Like, literally, just run a fade and throw a jump ball three plays in a row. Like, you're going to get one of them.
I think Delora is just not disciplined. Like, some of those old Stanford teams, like a Kevin Hogan team, they would have just thrown jump balls to Florence.
Yeah.
And it would have eventually worked. Like, but Delora is just not as interesting as Jane Delora is. I think year three, we can kind of be like, eh, he's just interesting.
He's limited, yeah. And his limits are not going to go away.
Yeah. He's fun. But
he's not going to push through him.
No, he's the same guy he was last year. And I know the COVID year was dumb, but he doesn't look much different than the COVID year either.
No, but the Ducks front was getting like just enough pressure there. I think they only had a couple sacks, but they were getting just enough pressure. And he was just kind of, especially later in the game, he just started just throwing from his back foot when that pressure came. Didn't even bother trying to, step up in the pocket or move out. Just here you go.
Then it was Florence who ended up getting an interception, of course, because that's how football works. But
the first couple drives there, I mean, Cowing beat Gonzalez pretty good on like an inside move, and there was a couple. They went after Bridges once and got another penalty. The offense was looking okay. Yeah. I don't know what happened to it. I'd never seen an offense just completely shut down after two possessions.
Was it Oregon's offense just sort of taking the wind out of their entire team? I think so
because, well, and even like, so like going into the game, Cowing led the nation in like pass catches over like 20 or 25 yards, whatever it was. So you kind of know what Arizona's deal is, and Oregon knew it too. And they just eventually could just pin their ears back and play a zone they just got away from Arizona really quick.
They could not run the ball either. They had like two big runs, I think, accounted for all their rushing yards.
Yes, that one, that second big run was like 90% of their total yards.
Yeah, they had like 105 rushing yards as a team, and like 70 of them were on those two runs.
And so, I don't expect Arizona to win this week. I know, spoiler for picks, but if they could do a number on that UW defense, because that UW defense has nothing of quality. But I will say, getting back to Oregon, sorry for the UW talk, bow down, go Dawgs.
How dare you?
I know. Woof, woof. That's the first game Flo and Sewell look good at the same time for long stretches.
They did.
Yeah. Like, it's the first one.
Like, did Sewell just get pressure on a guy? Like, did he just make a tackle?
I mean,
like,
maybe he's
in space.
Finally,
Bossa had a sack.
I do think the bloom is off the boss of Rose a little bit, if that's the phrase. I love him. He's undersized and plays hard. Yeah.
He's playing out of position.
But he's clearly playing out of position. And year two into it, you can really see maybe he should be a safety.
Yes. But we did see why you guys think they had a good game. Because Arizona didn't really attack them in the passing game.
Yes.
They did not attack the linebackers at all. So they was just free rushing out of them in the end. If they didn't have to worry about, getting back in coverage,
that's
where they're most dangerous. Just go for the quarterback.
Teams that take deep shots against
this Oregon defense, not the best strategy, because you got Sewell, who is a big, enormous man running, and you got a WWE wrestler who just snorts cocaine between plays.
Who's somehow smaller than everybody. It's weird.
He's very small.
He's very small on the football field.
You know what
Arizona's problem is that they don't run the ball. Because if you can't run the football, then Oregon can have three corners on the field. And you're not able to get any of those talented wide receivers matched up on a linebacker at any point, that's all you have to do against Oregon is get a wide receiver against the linebacker and you're good. But because they can't run, Oregon can keep, two or three linebackers on the field at a time and the rest are just DBs and it doesn't matter. Like, you know exactly what you have to do to stop Arizona. And oddly enough, even though Oregon's been bad against the pass, it sort of fit right into how they could be successful against the pass, if that makes sense.
Well, Georgia showed the blueprint how to kill Oregon. You just get 15 yards at a time. Someone's open in the middle of the field there.
And you have a shot or two. A 6'7", 280-pound tight end.
Yes, that helps too. But like King said, if you're just trying to attack Oregon deep, Dorlis and Johnson, pretty good defensive ends to get pressure. You're going to let the linebackers do what the pretty much the only thing they're really good at, and that is just charging straight ahead.
Yeah,
you're going to be in a world of hurt with the Ducks defense.
And you know, like Riley and Rogers are playing well on the inside too. Like, so some unheralded guys for Oregon are playing really well this year. Like Rogers is one of those guys. Like he plays on the inside, so he's just not going to make a lot of plays. By the way, like Cam Lewis, can we mention Cam Lewis? Like I feel like we almost shouldn't, just because this it's like
don't want to jinx it.
No, it's like you mentioned an offensive lineman. Like TJ Bass has won the Pac-12 offensive lineman 2 weeks in a row. But as soon as you mention him, that's when he's going to start to suck. Yeah. So like Lewis is perfect on the year. Like Lewis is 7 of 7 on field goals. He is 31 of 31 on extra points. He is perfect. When he goes out there, I don't even think about it. It's like this kick is going to be good. Whatever.
Talk about clicking for a guy.
I feel like I should edit this shit out because I know that's going to fuck him up. Like I still
don't feel confident.
You still cannot. You never will.
So that's what we'll do. That's what we'll do. We'll spend the next like few seconds here.
Redact.
We will do the reverse jinx where we'll talk nothing but shit about him and how he's terrible. Okay.
Voice over everything.
Like edit it.
Yes, edit it. Voice over.
If we had the video, it'd be like the bad movie.
Yeah.
Boy, that Cam Lewis sure is terrible at kicking. I don't trust him.
Just
at
watching
all.
Him because the stadium at Wazoo is so small. Watching him kick live, like from that close, I was like, it doesn't look good. Like it just looks bad.
Is it purely of just what he looks like?
I think that's part of it.
He looks weird. Like he's shaped weird for a kicker.
Arms look a little small. Head looks a little small. It just his body composition is just off.
Oh, he's like a little kid. He's like a middle school kid, like playing kicker for Oregon.
And I just picture him after the Wazoo beating Wazoo in 2019 and getting picked up, and he puts his hands up. You know, he's getting lifted by a throng of players. He's like, look at me, guys. I'm a football player. Let me down.
I'm scared.
I can't ride this ride.
I'm too high off the ground. Please don't drop me.
By the way, did you see that Oregon signed the number one kicker in the nation yesterday?
Oh, yeah, because that totally has been.
Because that totally needs something.
Yeah, that's how that
was. Was Camden Lewis not the number one kicker out of high school?
I don't know.
I thought we had a kicker that was like
they
this.
Did.
Was like,
it wasn't Camden. It was the guy before Camden and the Cattleman.
He was like from North Carolina or something. And he just
wasn't good. Like, couldn't he just kick. Didn't play.
He couldn't kick. It's the weirdest thing. Like,
Where did the cattleman go? You guys know?
Colorado State, I believe.
I want to go look at his stats. I want to see how old cattle. I love the cattleman.
I love the cattleman. Who didn't love the cattleman?
Yeah, I want to go. So I want to see how he's doing this year.
You know how they rate these people, right? Like kickers and long snappers. Like Oregon signed the number one long snapper in the country. It's like, the fuck are you rating long snappers? Why are you rating long snappers? You fucking dorks.
Well, I think the kicker one is camps.
They have like these camps.
And that's so, what's, like, kick, the Chris Saylor Kicking
Chris Academy. Saylor Academy.
Chris
Saylor
Academy.
Oh, he's the number one player coming out of the Chris Saylor Kicking Academy.
I know someone who was like top 10 at the Chris Saylor Kicking Academy, went to Syracuse, tried to walk on. And they were like, nah, dog. As a kicker, like, nah, not even as a walk on.
You know, it's, and I love Yogi Roth. But if I hear Yogi Roth talk about the Elite 11 camp again, I'm going to fucking like throw something at my TV because the Elite 11 is worthless. Like, yes, there are good quarterbacks who come from the Elite 11 camp because they only accept all of the highest rated quarterbacks in the country to be there. So, yes, mathematically, there's going to be a few of them who end up being pretty good, but the majority of them and like all of them who ended up going to Oregon have been pure dog shit. Braxton Burmeister was like an Elite 11 all-star. Like, no. does not mean anything. Bullshit.
I love how like Arch Manning is the number one like elite 11 quarterback this year. Number one quarterback in the nation.
Sure.
And then you look at his stats and highlights playing and you're like, dude, you're playing against guys that are like 5'9" and you're throwing for 106 yards. How were you the number one? I mean, we've talked, we know why his last name is Manning. Yeah. Got it.
No stats, not really athletic looking at all.
No.
Playing against bad players.
He's trucking linebackers that look like Cam Lewis.
Yeah.
I got some bad news, fellas.
Oh, no. Uh-oh. The Cattleman?
Oh, no.
The Cattleman has not kicked the ball this year.
Oh, my God.
Whoever the Colorado State head coach is, fucking fire him.
Jay Norvell. I learned that this week.
Bum.
Because him and former Oregon coach Ken Wilson got into a fight on Saturday Jay Norvell told all of the Nevada players to quit and transfer to Colorado State before the bowl game. So old Ken Wilson got into a fight with him.
I think that's frowned upon.
Speaking of old former Oregon coaches, how about those Canes?
Dem Canes.
Woof. Mario, my man. Figure it out. Jesus.
That fan base does not like him right now. And they're seeing the exact same things that we saw that they are not liking.
I did read, guilty pleasure has been reading some Hurricane blogs after losses. I'm like, well, hey, in the second half, they really opened it up for Tyler Van Dimes. Okay, you still scored 21 points.
Yep.
Yeah, but we had an unfortunate fumble in the fourth. Yep, seems to be a Mario thing. Yeah, but we had an injury in the secondary in the fourth and really came back to bite us.
Yeah. That
seems like an Ehrenfeld thing. Yeah, been there.
Yep, that does happen. Yep. Oh, and by the way, for some reason, we ran out of timeouts at the end of the game. I'm not really sure why.
The first two were really good.
Here's what they'll say. They are plus 11 scoring on the season.
But first game against Bethune-Cookman.
Bethune-Cookman, they dropped a 70 bomb.
That is a great thing that crystal ball defenders say.
Because they will say they are leading the Coastal Division in point differential right now, even though they are second to last, only ahead of Virginia.
Oh, God. I mean, like, I'm not as low on Mario as a lot of most Duck fans. Definitely know his limitations, for sure. But it's fun to see this. It's nice to see this.
This is the thing. So they're 21st in passing yards per game, 31st in total yards per game. How do they not score points? Is it game management, turnovers, probably terrible penalties, and terrible play calls in the red zone would be my exact guess.
I don't watch a lot of Miami. This would be a King question, I believe.
I've watched a little bit. They get to about the 20, and then it's like, well, we know he's not going to throw the ball 17 yards down the field, so it's pretty easy to defend.
They're limited. Right.
And I'm not saying Miami has good receivers, because they actually really – they don't. But
no. Hot take question, King. Do they make a bowl?
Yes, they'll make a bowl.
They still play Duke, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Clemson, Pitt, Virginia, and Virginia Tech. That's the remaining schedule.
They'll make a bowl.
That'll get them there?
Yeah. The only good team out of that is Clemson. And do we really think Clemson is that good?
I mean, no. They still got DJ Ungalele as their quarterback.
Throwing shade at Duke. Not sure I'm comfortable with that.
Who is Duke's head coach now? Does anybody know?
It's not Cutcliffe?
No, they fired him.
Okay. I got nothing else. It's not Krzyzewski? But he's not there anymore.
He retired too.
Damn it. I got nothing on
Duke. The ACC. I'm sure people in the ACC do this with the Pac-12, but it's like, I don't really know who a coach
is.
Is there a Beamer still kicking around?
Jeff Capel.
Do you want another guess at who their current head coach is?
Who's?
Dukes.
Like football?
Do you want another guess? Yeah.
I'll never get it.
Mike Elko.
Oh, okay. I do know the name. Defensive coordinator. Yeah. Notre Dame, Texas A&M. Okay. I do know that name.
Yes.
And like Wake Forest, I think.
Wake Forest, Bowling Green, Hofstra, Richmond, Fordham. Yeah, he's been around for a while.
Yeah.
I defy you to find someone who cares.
This Virginia Tech's coach.
Oh, God.
I feel like they were a program for a while, and they are decidedly not.
We're just downgrading in questions here.
Brent Pry.
Oh, Brent. Oh,
oh
I,
yeah.
I
yeah,
do know that because Reddit says he has an enormous penis. Oh, cool. College football Reddit was like, God damn, look at that dick.
Was he rocking some like tight pants on the sideline one game?
No, it was like his introductory press conference, and he was swaggering up there, and apparently there was a salmon flopping around in those chinos. Yeah.
Any other teams you want to figure out who their coach is?
No, but I do want to keep it on the fashion subject because our boy on Twitter, Michael Young, has put out a poll during the game. And brought up an interesting point that, you know, I feel like we should at least discuss for a second. Is Dan Lanning, he asked, the worst dressed coach in football?
Not in football, because there are always the Mangino's out there who just look like a punch bowl.
You got the fupa.
Yeah. For his body type, God, he dresses like a bum, man.
He honestly, like, and
if you look at his,
he doesn't. Yeah, outside of football,
his
right?
Pregame, yeah. Like his outfit walking in the stadium, sharp as hell.
Fresh, yeah.
And this, I think part of the reason why he left Georgia is that Kirby Smart made him cut his hair, get a good fade, dress sharp.
Go Steinbrenner?
Because my word, those shots of him walking in the stadium at Georgia, he looked good. And now he just...
You let him pick the Oregon gear that he's going to wear, and he looks fucking terrible. Fucking terrible. So, he's got wrinkled jackets and like horrible khakis that don't fit right. Like, what is happening?
He looks like a guy that's 6'1" and weighed 290.
Yeah.
And then within about 4 months is now 210. And he just still wears the same clothes.
He hasn't got same clothes.
No, he's buying clothes that fit him for the first time in his life. But he doesn't know what that means, you know? Like,
it's very bizarre.
He's like, this is right on the crotch, right? Oh, it feels a little high. Yeah, it is, Dan. It is. Like, you're not supposed to wear pants like that. Come on, dude. And you got a wife. Like, I'm not trying to be sexist or anything, but like, you got a wife. Like, you
she's sharply dressed. If you see the pictures of her.
Yeah. You know, that's fair. And he leaves the house wearing a nice suit. And so he gets into the locker room and he puts on this bullshit. Somebody with Nike needs to step in.
He's too young to be dressing like Andy Reid. Like, Reid dresses like Andy Reid because he's Andy Reid. We all get it. That guy's not wearing slim cut anything. No Belichick. Skinny jeans.
They don't give a shit.
Aloha shirts are perfect for Andy.
But my word. Come on, Dan Lanning. Like, I think it was the last game. Like, his shirt had like a little bit of like fleece on it or something, and it just made no sense. It was
What are we doing?
What are you doing?
I responded to Michael Young's post with a picture of Mike McDaniel. And if you've seen, so this Mike McDaniel,
that's the same age.
That's how you do it. Yeah. That's how you dress. If you're a head coach in your 30s, you got joggers, dude. You can wear joggers, dude. And like a nice fitting hoodie. And he's got the glasses. Yeah. That's a good look. Like you look like a dude.
Who was your Niners coach that rocked like full suit for games?
Mike Nolan.
Mike Nolan. Yeah. He needs to come out 1 week just like that. Just be like, hey, you want me to look like fucking a banker? Sure. I'll do it. There you go.
That would be better. And by the way, like that was when Reebok had the NFL deal or whatever. And I remember Reebok making his ties or something like that. That was a storyline. Reebok made his ties. Oh man.
He should just go full tracksuit is what he should do.
I could see that.
If he's trying to look for maximum comfort, just go full tracksuit.
Go Tom Sula. If we're talking about Niners coaches, go Tom Sula. Open it up. Get a gold chain. Let that hair come out.
Fucking just go for it then. Yeah, he's
looking like Carl from Aqua Teen.
Aqua Teen, yeah.
Hey, go Ducks.
Hey, go. Let's go for a fourth down. The Giants. Game on Thibodeau, you know.
Hey,
Hey, Fry Man.
Hey, You can't stop Bo Nix running the ball. Am I right?
What you looking at, Meatwad? Fucking ball of meat.
Okay, so
I haven't seen that show in way too long.
So back to the Duck game, huh? Like Bo Nix again, another really, really good Bo Nix game. Like really efficient throwing the ball, 20 of 25, 265 yards, no touchdown passes, but that's okay. You want to know why that's okay?
Three more.
Because he ran for 3 touchdowns.
3.
Oregon ran for 7 touchdowns. Like 7 rushing touchdowns.
6 different players, I believe, as well.
It was 6 different players. So you had Whittington's long touchdown run. Nix had 3. Jordan James, by the way, 10 carries, 69 yards. Got to run with like the regular offense and got a touchdown run, obviously, because that's what he does. Bucky Irving, like 12 carries, 67 yards and a touchdown run. And then they had like the tight end around with Matavau ran for a touchdown. 6 different dudes ran for a touchdown is insane. That's insane. That's thorough domination. And, again, Dillingham, throw it up, man.
Kenny Dillingham, touchdown socialist. Spreading that all out.
Spreading it around, baby.
Spreading it around.
Welcome to Oregon. Let's go.
I said it last week. I said Nick should be in like the top 10 Heisman talk. Throw him in the top 3 talk right now. Because no one else, other than like Stroud's putting up some gaudy numbers.
No, who else is doing this? Yeah.
Exactly. He should be in the talks right now.
But
Dorian Thompson Robinson, hello.
49-3.
That's the only thing that's going to kill him right now. But his stats, other than the pick, wasn't bad against Georgia, too.
Before we move on, I know we're going to get to like picks and stuff here in like just a minute.
Yeah,
right?
Speaking of picks,
we had a question from a listener.
I like those.
Blazer questions.
I don't like those.
Over under Dame 28 points a game. This is from 3D in Beaverton. Say hi to Phil for us, 3D. I'm sure he's just hustling and bustling around the campus at this age. Over under 28 points a game, DraftKings.
Hey, 3D,
Damian Lillard.
Hey,
is here.
3D, bring back the website, huh? Figure it out.
You coward.
Figure it out. You coward.
You coward.
28 and a half.
Just 28. No hook.
Yes.
Over. Okay.
Yes. He will get that.
Under.
And then what was what'd you have the over under on their wins at this year, Ski? Was it, did it say 39 and a half?
It's 39 and a half is the over under.
I saw it at 40 last week, and I was, like I said, I was passionately mad. I was like, there's no way. There is no way they're going 42 and four. And then I realized I'm arguing the whole team going 42 and 40. And then I saw the game against the Warriors where they lost to all their backups by 40. And the Blazers are trash.
They lost to the Jazz, playing most of their starters for about 3/4 a game.
Yeah. I think the Blazers might be on like by Christmas Day tank watch.
I mean, I know Brian didn't want to get into it last week. Tank for that Wabanaya, whatever his name is.
Wembanyama.
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 Wembanyama. Wabanaya. Wembanyama. Yes. 7-4 shooter. Your team stinks. Nurkic is still your only big man. They stink. Sharp could be good. He's entertaining. Jumps high, dunks hard, can shoot the ball a little bit.
I hate to say it, but yeah, I hope Damian Lillard gets like plantar fasciitis. Yeah. Fasciitis.
Wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Emphasis. Yeah, I hope he's out by like game 3. Sorry, I just had to interject some.
Are you fucking done?
I am done.
Let's go to Chauncey. Chauncey should be fired.
No,
he never should have been hired.
We want Chauncey to coach all the way.
Is Chauncey Chauncey's good. The transition coach? Is that what we're saying? So, like, eventually they trade Dame and fire Chauncey and
Dame came out again today saying
he wouldn't.
It wouldn't feel right winning a championship for another team.
No, like LeBron, he was in LA and they're at like a Sparks game, and LeBron was like, "Come by my house," and they're eating fine food, drinking expensive wine. LeBron is recruiting him to the Lakers, and Dame is like, "No, I'm loyal." Dame, stop being loyal.
It's not good for you.
It's not good for me. You're going to make the same money. You signed the contract. They'll make it work. It's the NBA. Westbrook is there sucking up the cap space. Go to LA. Go somewhere else. The Sacramento Kings have better win odds this year than the Blazers. Free us. Free you. I love you. You top 75 player. Like, I get it. It's not happening here.
And you know what? We're Blazer fans. We hate ourselves. Like, everybody knows that. So we want to see you happy, and we want to see ourselves unhappy. So force a trade for Russell Westbrook.
Just, you know, sit like, out. Like, be a dickhead, man.
Yeah, bring Westbrook to Portland. Because as Blazer fans, all we want to do is hate ourselves and our basketball.
Actually, you want to know what? It's bring Westbrook, just straight up trade.
Straight up.
Make the money work.
One for
bring them in and just lose every night.
So you're paying more. You got a worse.
That's so brutal. God. Oh, God bless that contract of Westbrook's, because good grief.
I think I've decided that this is gonna be my Blazer character for the year. Is I'm gonna play that guy. That I hate myself and I want everything to go badly, and I want them to.
Everybody eat worms.
Yeah, that's what I want. Yeah, that's what I want. Okay, I'm gonna do that.
You're gonna be the Kathy.
You're gonna be Kathy.
I'm the Kathy of Blazer fan.
Oh, the Blazers lose again. Wow.
A Thursday in Milwaukee.
Torn rotator cuff. Oh. Nurk is injured again. Oh. Oh, this team just can't stay healthy.
Oh.
Fuck him, Al. I hate both of you. Anything else on the Duck game before we close the door and move on to the world champion bye, who they're facing this week?
All I'll say is I think it's funny that Arizona really pumped up that it was a sellout.
Yeah.
And then they had like a weather delay or something, so they couldn't let fans in. So it never actually
so nobody showed up. They're just like, I give up. Fuck it.
Yeah, they're just like, I was going home.
I think they were struggling to get people in.
Yeah,
like the lines were long. And I think they finally got in, and just, you know, the gif.
Yes,
of,
I do.
Grandpa yeah. Simpson walking into the thing and turning. That's what the fans did. Well, this game's over. See ya. Oh. Just right back out the entrance.
28-0? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
First sellout for what? Like 2015 or something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah, it was a long, long time. Yep. And then the one more thing. The field goal kicks that were good for Arizona, where they definitely were not good. They were like,
that camera angle was weird.
I don't know if it was the camera angle, but they were.
I don't know either, but
very wide left looking.
They very much looked that way.
I was so confused that, and like the first one, I was like, okay, well, maybe I can't rewind because it's the Pac-12 Network, and you know, there's literally one way to watch the Pac-12 Network, and that's on cable, and so I was watching it illegally, obviously. but I was like, what? Huh? And then the second one, it was like the exact same kick. I was like, dude,
worse, I think, even.
That's like 3 feet the other direction. What the hell just happened? And I think we learned in the NFL or whatever that if it like goes over, like right over
the very next day,
it's a home run, right? Like if it goes over the thing, the then it still counts. Yeah, foul pole. Weird.
Or fair pole.
Weird. Just weird.
While we're on baseball, quick 10 seconds. Take a seat, Mariners. Take a seat, bring in fucking Robbie Ray in to groove fastballs to Alvarez.
Trash.
What?
Trash.
Mariner fans, that is just, oh my God. First one. Oh, here's a fastball right down the dick. Oh, you just missed it. All right. Here's one in the same spot.
Bang.
Okay, enough of that bullshit. Let's get to lines. Ski, lines, go.
Lines.
Lines.
Lines, lines everywhere. Lines. I'm watching SmackDown. Lines.
All right.
Hey, did D-Generation X come back on Raw this week? Did I see that? I feel like I saw.
I am not aware of that.
I feel like I saw a bunch of really old people in D-Generation X, like get up on a truck celebrating something, and I feel like Triple H was one of them. So that leads me to believe that.
Triple H is no, he's not back.
The old X-Pac was there, and
he has like a defibrillator in his heart now. Yeah,
Road Dog.
He's officially retired. Yeah, okay. I think he saw something old. Yeah.
Well, they might not have been wrestling, but they were. I don't know. I'm Googling it. Bring up the lines. Go.
Google it. All right. So, man, last week, King just starting to, you know, pull away a little bit here.
Separation Saturday.
5-2. Raga, you were next. 4-3. And I was 3-4.
Oh.
So, currently, man. King has a 2-point lead on me and a 7-point lead on Braga.
Oh my God!
This is not going well, boys.
I cannot be stopped. I am so inevitable.
Here you go. Here you go. Here you go. WWE Raw. The story is from today. Was full of nostalgia Monday night as the company celebrated the 25th anniversary of D-Generation X. Triple H, Shawn Michaels, X-Pac, and the Road Dogg Jesse James were all on hand Monday night. Let's go.
They couldn't get the badass Billy Gunn from whatever other wrestling promotion he's.
I'm gonna go with no.
Working on.
He's on AEW,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Or something. He's on something. He's only current wrestler.
I forget what he calls himself, but it was something very funny.
Before we get back to lines, this is probably why I saw this video the other day. Someone posted a video of someone heckling Shawn Michaels. Be like, Shawn Michaels, are you even 5'2"? He turns around. He was
kicks
like.
Him.
No, he's like, yeah, I'm 5'2" until I step on my wallet, and then I'm 10'2". Suck it, motherfucker!
Suck it! Yeah. And then he gives him the sweet chin music.
Yeah. Sorry, wrestling to
so good,
time.
So good.
That's
so
for
good.
You, Mal Booble.
So, first game, we got Cal, 15.5-point favorites. Going to Colorado.
Oh, God.
So I'm keeping my rule. I'm taking Cal, and Cal is my star pick.
Yeah, Cal.
Also Cal, yeah.
Hey, I mean, Colorado coming off the bye this week, I believe, so it should be fresh.
Why does Colorado always get a bye week before their big games?
Every time.
Every single time.
Larry Scott, you rascal.
Favoritism. God, it's disgusting.
All right. King already brought this game up. We got Arizona going to UW. UW, 14.5-point favorites against Braga's Cats.
University of Washington is my pick.
I'm UW as well.
No, you know what? I'm down big. Fuck it. Like, my cats.
I was going to say the Cats because I think the Mariners' home game is at the exact same time. So attendance will be down. But because you went Zona, I will just go UW as a.
Oh, thank you for giving me the opportunity.
I don't think you're making a bad pick. I was going to pick it, but. You know,
burying myself even more. Yeah, it's great.
Yes, I think Husky Stadium might be about 45,000 people.
Yep. All right. Next game, we got Stanford.
Stanford!
This is Notre Dame week.
Oh, God.
Notre Dame. 17.5-point favorite.
Notre Dame. Don't care. Notre Dame. And I don't think Notre Dame's very good.
I'm taking Stanford. Notre Dame lost to Marshall.
They did.
We are Marshall. Their quarterback, I was watching some of the game yesterday.
Are you saying Marshall is plain bad?
Yes. Plain bad.
Throw my mic down. I quit. Wait, can you quit a podcast? Hang on. I also am picking Stanford with the points.
Stanford.
They're both this might be like the worst both teams have been going into this game in a like maybe ever. Maybe oh, ever. Like both teams being bad.
Long time.
Like
long
maybe
time.
Ever. Yeah.
Yeah.
But King said Stanford has a top 10
is
pick
Tanner McKee
so.
A top 10 pick? The people are asking. I'm just asking questions.
What
folks.
Does what does PFF say?
Oh my god. PFF they have Tanner McKee as the fourth best Pac-12 quarterback this year, PFF.
Yo, you are legit flustered.
What do they have as the number one best quarterback in the Pac-12 this year?
Phoenix.
Cam Rising.
Chance. Oh.
Came out today. What? And by like 4.5-5 points over number two.
Well,
just PFF.
Speaking of Cam Rising, Utah, they're 3.5-point favorites at home against USC.
This line's a trap. It's a trap. It's a trap.
I mean, everything's telling me to take USC. Utah's been not great. I'm going to buy into the trap. I'm taking USC plus 3.5.
I'm taking USC with the star.
Oh.
I'm taking Utah with the star.
Ooh, I like it.
Number one ranked QB in the Pac-12, yep. Cam Rising. You can't beat that.
Utah's rising. USC is falling.
The Utes are rising. It will be extremely painful for you,
for
USC.
For Caleb Williams. Oh, for USC.
For you.
I'm sorry for stepping on that. That was pure gold.
All right. Speaking of great quarterback play, Washington State, they're a 3.5-point underdog going to the Beavs. I believe Chance Nolan still out.
Out.
He gone. That was such a fantastic way to end the worst football game you've ever seen in your life. Man.
There's no better way to end a Pac-12 game at 11:30 than that.
I love like the storyline. It's like Beaver fans will remember this game forever. It's like, oh, I don't think they are. I think they were like really trying to forget it until one play happened. Good this, Lord.
This wasn't quite Stephon Diggs doing the same thing in the was that the first round of the playoffs?
I think so. The
against the Saints.
Round. Yeah.
The division Saints, round against yeah. Saints. Yeah. Not quite the same thing, but
it was an
amazing, similar play.
Amazing play by Harrison. Amazing play. Just took it away from two guys and then ran away. Like again, Stanford's trash, but you know, still amazing.
I really like Jonathan Smith. I think he's a good offensive coach.
Yeah, he's great for them too.
But it shows the level of expectations at Oregon State that they have went ape shit over beating a bad Boise team. Went ape shit over a last second win against a Fresno team that might go to a bowl game. They lost to UConn by like 3 touchdowns. And then going ape shit over a lucky last second win over a team who, granted, it's been a year. It was against Oregon. Good for them. But it's like 1-17 in their against the FBS in the last 2+ years. Like it's just
bullshit win over Oregon too.
Yes, it was.
So saying this, give me the Cougs.
I got the Cougs, too. Shout out to Trudy.
Absolutely. 100% Washington State.
All right. So, two throw-in games because we got the byes still going. We got first one, Penn State going to Michigan. Michigan, 7.5-point favorites at home.
Michigan. I don't like Sean Clifford.
Yeah, Michigan as well.
Well, I'm Michigan as well. Not a great game.
I've oddly enough, like because they play at 9 o'clock every week.
Every week,
I wake up. I make my breakfast. I make my coffee, and I sit down and watch a lot of Michigan.
They're always on
every week. Yep, it's like I switch back. My Saturday morning. That's it. Breakfast, coffee, Michigan football and Premier League if they're on. Because Premier League, by the way, like West Coast starts at like 4 or 6 a.m.
Yeah,
and so it's like if there's still a game happening, I'll watch it. But if not, then Michigan every week.
Yeah. How'd your How'd your Hotspurs do in the Champions League matchup they just had?
Oh, they won yesterday. Or today, I don't know. 3-2 against some bad team. Yeah, Sonny scored.
Yeah.
They're really bad. Harry. They're not good. No.
Eric Gein. Yeah. I mean, they're still right. in Champions League position in the Premier League.
Yeah. They are, but they're not good.
Champions League.
You know, they're good. They're just not as good as Arsenal or Man City, but not
fair many, enough. Fair
not
enough.
Many,
fair.
Not many teams yeah. are.
So. But as long as they have Sonny, I'm kind of okay with it.
Hell yeah.
And someone I can go, Eric Gein.
And you got Richarlison.
Yes.
Yeah. He's actually, by the way, like he is playing way better than he did before. Like because he was on Everton before, I think.
Yeah, I think it was Everton, yeah.
Yeah. He is way less selfish on your team, which is good because he's playing with two players who are significantly better than he is, but
I know we're going too deep.
He was a flat out diva with Everton.
We're going too deep on this, but I love Tottenham Twitter mentions because and it's all EP, you know, it's all Prem League. You know, it is. They're so mean. Whatever intern in the US thinks they're getting shit on, not intern, I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm stuck on that old thing. They're not interns. They're making six figures running this
game. Yes, they get paid a lot.
I don't know why I'm stuck on it. I apologize. It's dumb.
Social media managers.
Yes, but all those social media managers in the US who think they're getting shit on, check out a Tottenham. Like, it's bad. Bad. Even after wins, it's bad.
Who like online hooligans. Bad.
I was gonna say, King, are you gonna go join a firm here and get after it?
somebody's been watching the Wrexham show. Somebody just learned what a firm is.
I've seen Green Street hooligans.
To be fair, I didn't know they were called firms either. I did not know that.
John Grisham book.
Yeah, different kind of firm. Different.
A Fugees album.
Ooh la la la.
All right. Last game. This one actually we might be separated here on this. We got Alabama, 7.5-point favorites. They're going to Old Rocky Top, Tennessee, baby.
Old Rocky Top, you'll always be home, sweet home to me. Good old Rocky Top. Ooh, Rocky Top's the pick for me.
And they're getting Young back, right? Alabama? No, they
ruled them out today. I shouldn't have said
did
that.
Did they? Okay.
They did.
Tennessee.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
This went against what I thought because I am taking the balls as well. It's because it's a touchdown and the hook. 7.5, they cover.
And can I say something about Tennessee's quarterback, Hendon Hooker?
Sure.
This podcast is known for Hooker talk, so go right ahead.
Hendon Hooker was a quarterback at Virginia Tech, a second-year starting quarterback at Virginia Tech, and was old enough to legally drink in the USA as a second-year quarterback at Virginia Tech. Before anyone have heard of COVID-19. That man is like 25.
He old.
He's old. I know COVID rules and injury. Like when I saw that on Saturday, I was like, he was 22 in 2019. Like what? Of course he's good. He's a black BYU player. Like, yeah, of course he's good.
He's Chris Wanky.
It's so, yeah.
Wasn't Wanky like 27?
I think he was like I think he was like 29 when he got drafted.
It's amazing.
Insane.
Yeah, how you draft a 29-year-old quarterback?
Well,
yeah.
He looked good for that first month, I think, if I remember right.
How is he 29 and still a developmental NFL player?
it's like a Chris Duarte. They're like, man, this rookie's coming right out of the box. Like, well, yeah.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, he went to high school with LeBron.
He's played 8 years of international ball.
Yeah. This man has had a mortgage for a few years. Like, I know he's a rookie, but.
All right.
And that's lines.
That's it? Okay, let's do trivia. Didn't think I'd have trivia this week, did you? Because Oregon's on a bye? Guess what, motherfuckers? I came up with bye trivia. Get some. Get some. So King up 2 after the victory last week. So King goes first. this week. Again, it is going to be me asking the question. King will get a chance to answer. If he misses it, then Ski gets a chance to answer with three multiple choice questions. And again, it's by trivia. So use your best judgment what you think by might mean with every question. I'm going to start.
Bicentennial Man starring Robin Williams.
An NSYNC song.
Oh, shit. Let me cross that off my phone. how do you say, Ski, how do you say goodbye in French?
It's to me or to King?
This is you, Ski. No, it's King. Oh. Wait, no, it's King, right? Yeah, because you won last week. You go first. My bad. Eat me. King, how do you say goodbye in French?
Bon voyage?
That is incorrect.
Oh.
I say it's au revoir.
Au revoir is the correct answer, Ski.
Les incompetents.
Ski, leading off with some class. All right.
Get educated here.
But they say, what does bonjour mean? Don't they say that when people leave boats or something?
Bonjour means hello, I think.
Means what?
Bon voyage might be like, have a safe trip.
Safe journey. Yeah.
Shout out to the
voyage.
Titanic.
Voyage is voyage. Yeah.
Okay. Well, whatever.
All right. So, Ski, again. In the movie Friday, Craig, played by Ice Cube, famously got fired on his day off. How are you gonna get fired on your day off? What did he get fired for?
Oh, if you don't get this.
What did he get fired for?
If you don't get this.
I haven't seen Friday in forever.
I'm gonna be fired up.
Very famous. Very famous line in the movie about it.
I wanna say no, that can't be right. No. Was he stealing boxes?
Oh, he was.
They got me on tape stealing boxes.
They stealing boxes for.
Oh.
He got you, man.
I thought we were gonna pounce. I thought we were even Steven.
I didn't believe my memory there for a second. I was like, there's no way he got fired for stealing boxes, right?
That's what Smokey said.
Talking about they got me on tape stealing boxes.
all right, King. As we talked about earlier, John Wilner loves to say that Oregon always has bye weeks before big games. I'm not sure anyone would have said UCLA was a big game coming into this year, but here we are. Oregon's bye week last season was before not a good team. Who was it?
Was it Stanford?
Stanford is the wrong answer. Your option, Ski, Cal, Arizona, or Colorado?
Oh, damn it. Now I know.
I mean, Colorado?
It was Cal, wasn't it?
It was Cal. Yeah. Yes, it was.
I thought
Stanford by Cal, yeah.
I thought the Ducks had a bye week every year before UW. I thought that's what UW fan always says. But
Yeah. That's why bye weeks exist, is because Oregon plays Washington every year. All right, so back to Ski. Still leading 3-0, Ski, or 2-0, excuse me. Which famous movie musical featured the song So Long Farewell with the Von Trapp family?
So long farewell, Avita saying goodbye. Was that The Sound of Music?
That is The Sound of Music. Ski, 3-0. Ski, running away with this.
It's a route.
King, another music question. This singer-songwriter wrote a song in the 60s about traveling a lot. It's not deep. Google is clear that it is not about Vietnam. It's called Leaving on a Jet Plane. Who sings it?
By Iver. I don't know.
Bon Iver?
Bon Iver.
Not from the 60s.
Bon Jefferson Iver. Airplane. I don't know.
Incorrect. Do you know the answer, Ski? Leaving on a Jet Plane? Okay. Your options.
I have an idea, but.
Okay. Your options. Bob Dylan, John Denver, or Roy Orbison?
John Denver was who I was thinking.
John Denver is the answer. 4-0, Ski. Let's see. Back to Ski again. A couple of bye week history specific questions here. The first
is this about- week brought to you by like socialism. Like you're just spreading out the easy questions.
the okay, this is an easy question apparently.
Oh God.
All right. So the first is about the origin of the bye week. The word bye applies to the week off in a football season. Why did the NFL start to implement the bye week?
Why? Because the players were farmers and they needed a week off?
Train travel?
Yeah.
Well, they the crops?
They did not have the bye week back in the 20s, oddly enough. all right. Yeah, well, King, your options then. Holidays, okay. An odd number of teams, or player safety?
Well, it's definitely player not safety. Player safety. Player safety. It's an odd number of teams.
That is the correct answer. There was an odd number of teams.
That was a good one.
They added a bye week. Yep.
Did you know that in college?
Got a freebie there.
Did you know that in college football, they don't call it a bye week? And they get very mad when you do. It's just like, it's an open week.
The open week, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bye week.
Yes, it's very dumb.
King. Which decade in the 1900s did the NFL start using bye weeks?
Oh man, why are you doing this to me? This is targeted harassment.
You got the last one. What do you mean?
The 60s.
That is the correct answer.
Ah, right after they disbanded the Steagles because the war was over.
You see what he's doing, right, Ski? Like, you're running away with this, and he's getting ahead of it with, like, the slanted questions. Why are you giving Ski the win?
I'm just saying. Mail-in ballots? Are we really
check
doing
the,
this?
Check the machines here. Check the machines.
Some hanging chads? Yeah. Like, what are we doing?
And Ski's like, stop the count. Stop the count.
Yeah, stop the count.
Stop the steal. Georgia, stop.
All right. Let's see. Ski. Peace has been a word seemingly forever. But peace out to say goodbye is relatively recent. According to the Oxford Dictionary, Ski, it was first used in a rap song called 3 Minute Rule from a rap group in 1989. Which rap group was it? Famous rap
Run
group.
Run DMC.
Good guess. Incorrect guess. Your options, King. De La Soul, Run DMC, or Beastie Boys?
God.
The black group or the white group here?
I
King,
know.
Who came up with it.
Tough.
Let's see how racist you are.
I'll say De La Soul.
The answer is Beastie Boys.
Ah,
God, of course.
It was Ad Rock who said it.
Like Ad Rock.
Yeah.
No, don't you make me peace out.
All right. King, again. Arguably, David Spade's most famous SNL character is the Bye-Bye Guy, where he played a flight attendant who was extremely rude to flyers and would say bye-bye instead of answering questions. What was the name of the airline and slash also the sketch?
Oh, no. No idea.
You're going to hear it and you're going to be like, oh, fucking of course.
Spaderade Air. I don't know.
Spaderade Air. they name the sketch the airline after the actor in it. All right.
Robert Smigel. He's a creative guy. Yeah. Who knows?
He just sees a sketch and puts the name of the person in it. Ski, your options: Jerk Airlines, Total Bastard Airlines, or Stinker Air.
Jerk Airlines.
Total Bastard Airlines is the name of the airline.
Of course.
You know
is.
What? Lorne Michaels do better. It's not a good bit. I got to be honest, Lorne.
You like it?
It's a bad bit.
Yeah, it's a fine bit.
A bad
what
bit.
Do you mean?
I wish I did it better.
I don't agree.
Right. A spade.
Spade a spade. Let's see. Who just guessed
he's
that?
He's up by a million.
Ski. All right, Ski. Yeah. By the way, I have one question left. Ski still hasn't gotten five yet. We get a hanging Chads. Jesus. Yeah. All right, Ski. Who was the first movie character to say, hasta la vista, baby?
It's Pinocchio. He left the whale's mouse.
It's no way it's Arnold. It's not Arnold.
Or is it?
I love how there's an ad for Chargers games and they play the Arnold voice in town. It's like, go Chargers, go!
Go Chargers.
He doesn't care about the Chargers.
He's coming to California. He cares about all the teams.
Sure.
Well, I'm going to say it was, I'll say Arnold. I'm going to bite. I'll bite on it.
So the Terminator is the first character to say that is incorrect. Your options, King. John Connor or Sarah Connor? Also, the Terminator was an option.
John Connor.
John Connor is the answer. So we are out of questions. And Ski,
it was a route.
Ski leads 4-3.
That's a win.
Hey, man. My left D end was very small. It just got ran over all day. What am I going to do?
Yep.
I kept throwing it deep when I should have been throwing intermediate, you know?
All I can offer is my condolences. This is technically... This is technically a Ski win, but I don't feel great about it.
No. I mean, hey, listen.
Yeah.
I know a lot about Tucson. Ski knows a lot about buys. Good for him.
You know what this was?
Au revoir. What's the French word for goodbye?
Au revoir.
Yeah, it's au revoir.
Au revoir.
Jeez. Of course, I didn't get any of the actual bi-week trivia knowledge, but
no.
I was 0-for on that.
You know what this was? This was like him jumping out to a huge lead and just barely hanging on at the end.
He just sat on the
ball. I'm Mario.
He's Mario. Yeah. He didn't get a single backup in, but he got the win.
Yeah, Ski's the Mario Ducks. Yep. Anthony Brown's playing that whole fucking game. The whole fucking game.
And I am Stony Brook. I tried.
Yep,
you are effort. Stony Brook.
Damn,
that's awesome.
Whole second half, we're just running the ball up the middle every play.
Go Seawolves. Go Seawolves.
Well, hasta la vista.
Yep, John Connor, when he was trying to tell the Terminator how to talk like a person.
Like, hey, man, you got a bad guy. Like, hasta la vista.
Hey, man.
Is that your Furlong?
James Furlong. God, that guy sucked.
That's my Eddie Furlong.
Edward Furlong.
Yeah, Edward Furlong.
Eddie.
Hey, man.
Him and Butnick just palling around on skateboards.
Was not Butnick.
It's Butnick. I mean.
Butnick was like
convinced it Butnick was him. What other other problem child redheaded actor was there in the early 90s?
Was that his name from Salute Your Shorts? I thought Butnick was the
like the actual problem child, I think.
Yeah,
whatever that guy's name was.
No, you're right.
Michael Richards.
John Ritter.
John Ritter. Rest in peace.
Yeah. Big ups.
Rest in peace, Michael Richards' career.
Big ups.
Yeah. No, we don't have to do the big ups.
No, we're not big upsing Michael Richards' career. All right. All right. So let's do our list, I guess. The list is also bye related. So Oregon's on a bye week, and the list is top three people or things, I guess, to ever say goodbye to something. So like it can be anything. It could be like a person, it could be, you know, whatever, but like the top three things that left something, we'll say that. Do you guys actually do a list? Do you guys actually
have two written down? I have two written down.
All right. Well, you come up with the third while we're doing
it. I got a third one already. I'll start with it right now.
I've done that before. Okay, go ahead.
My number three, the Cleveland Browns in, I can't remember when they left, when he, in the middle of the night, snuck him off to Baltimore.
Art Modell?
Yeah.
Yep. How do you steal a football team
but
in the middle of the night?
But they came back and gave Sean Watson
it. I think you might have that wrong. That was the Colts Baltimore right? to Indy.
What, that was the middle of the night one?
Yeah, that was the middle, on the Mayflower, yeah.
Yeah.
My number three, Boys to Men. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday.
Oh, so good. Good call, man. My number three, Katie Holmes leaving Tom Cruise. That seemed to have worked out for her, I think.
Yeah,
it's a good move.
She's not too upset about it.
It's a good move. Yeah, smart.
I don't know. Tom Cruise did save cinema with Top Gun Maverick.
He saved cinema.
Saved cinema, many are saying.
Yes. I'm not
Do
saying
you guys it. Remember that many period of time in the pandemic when people were like, oh, there's going to be no more theaters forever?
Well, a bunch of them did close.
I know, to be fair.
But yeah, yeah. No, people.
Like, okay.
Wanting to go see movies is never going to go away.
Yeah. Like, okay. Yeah.
Never, ever, ever. By the way, honorable mention, might as well mention it. The United States leaving Britain. That was a pretty big one. I don't know if that really worked out, but, you know, it's for a while there, it was going pretty well.
They still got soccer right over us, I'll say that.
Yeah, they sure do.
Our beans are better than their beans, though.
Yeah, without question. American breakfast better than English breakfast?
Yes.
Think we can say that? Yeah.
I mean,
we heat up our Canadian bacon.
Bacon over ham all day long.
Yes.
All day long.
You don't want some like mushy tomatoes and like beans? Mushrooms
and beans?
Some blood beans? Sausage?
Beans for breakfast? What is sausage. Happening?
Yeah. I don't know, but my number two.
Ruthless diarrhea after an English breakfast. God damn.
My number two is My number two is Madras, Oregon's finest, Jacoby Ellsbury's career after he left the Red Sox.
Madras's finest.
Chase that money with the Yanks. I think he played like 60 games, but he got paid.
My number two, NSYNC's Bye Bye Bye.
Yes. That should be all of our number one, frankly. But yeah, fantastic.
But it ain't no lie.
Listener, we did the arm thing. You know what that is. My number two, Shaquille O'Neal leaving the Orlando Magic. Winning three titles with the Lakers.
Worked out well for him.
Having a pretty good career, yeah.
And a three-peat.
Yeah, three in a row.
Probably would have won five if he tried.
Yeah. Maybe if he found out, you know, if Kobe knew how his ass tasted. I don't know. Maybe that would have done it. Win eight titles.
All right. My number one is Dave Mustaine getting kicked out of Metallica before they made it big.
Megadeth? He went on to Megadeth?
Because he formed Megadeth. He's in a heavy metal band and was somehow drinking too much and doing too much heroin to be in a metal band in the 80s.
See, I mean, doing heroin and playing a guitar really fast do not go together. So yeah. I could see where the attitude about the heroin use comes in.
I think he did heroin for about 20 years pretty strong and came out with like eight albums of Megadeth, so I don't know if heroin was really affecting him.
That might be the only time that sentence has ever been said. Yeah. He had a good run of like 20 years where he was killing it with heroin. Yeah. I think Metallica was in the wrong here.
They're in the wrong.
Yeah. Well, heroin for decades, never hurt anyone. Come on, man. Think of the art. All right. Is it my number one or is it King's number one?
Is mine. My number one by Brian Dunkelman leaving American Idol after season one on his own volition. Ryan Seacrest, now worth approximately $485 million. Brian wow. Dunkelman, what were you doing? Your last name's Dunkelman. Stay on the show on Fox.
It was not a slam dunk decision.
And that's a miss from Dunkelman.
Thank you. Brick City. My number one, Beyonce leaving Destiny's Child.
Oh, man, that one hurt.
That seemed to work out for her, though.
For her, yeah.
And she did okay.
She did okay. Kelly Rowland did okay.
The other two, the first one she kicked out, then the other third one, yeah, not so much.
I feel like there was somebody else. Oh, that's
all the single ladies.
All the single ladies. Pay my telephone bills. Pay my automobiles. Oh, that fucking song. Pay my automobiles. Fuck you.
It's a great line.
So good.
It's a fantastic line.
It's so
pay
good.
Pay that car note, you know? Yeah.
Yep. I'm mad that I didn't come up with it.